Awesome worship, amen. Nothing like testimonies. You put worship and then you get some testimonies in that do it again. God's moving, he's in the house, he's here amongst us. It's exciting about what he's got in store. Before we get started this morning, I just want to give couple short announcements, okay? Next week, please be in the house. If you remember when Pastor Ryan was here from the community church in Clio, he was sharing and he was telling us about a testimony about a man and his wife. His name is Bob and Sarita. They're going to be with us next Sunday. I've renamed him, so just remember him as TB. That's what we're calling him, TB, Testimony Bob, because this is the man, actually as a couple, that if you remember Ryan saying that their marriage was an absolute disaster. They were on the verge of divorce. They were trying everything. They had tried everything possible. And they finally looked at each other and said, well, we've heard of this church. We're going to try this church thing. And if it don't work, then we're going to go ahead and get a divorce. He was, for years and years, an alcoholic and all of the issues that come with addictions. And he walked into church. He was prayed over. He was instantly restored, healed. Delivered instantly. And him and Sarita are going to be with us next Sunday. They're going to be sharing their testimony. It's a fantastic testimony, and I want you guys to hear it, so I asked them to come. We are going to be doing a potluck following the service, so please plan on staying and fellowshipping. That's the first announcement. Second announcement is in 2 weeks, on a Saturday, we're doing a church garage sale, and so if you would please see Pastor Tracy or Lori or Apostle as to what we need and what that looks like. So, Father, we thank you for today. We know you're in our midst. We thank you for how you've moved this week. We thank you for Roy's testimony from yesterday. We thank you for the testimonies today. We thank you for the testimonies that are coming. Lord, just please open our hearts to hear what you have for us and that we know how to apply it. Amen. Amen. Two more things real quick. Jace, if you haven't met Jace, you need to come over and meet Jace. He's going to come back and he's going to share what his ministry looks like. That's awesome. He's him and Joel have been longtime friends. I'm sorry, Jace, about that. But anyways, so be sure you say hello, make him welcome. And I'm going to put Misty on the spot. Misty is over here. This is first time with us. I want you to understand who Misty is, because this is pretty amazing. This is how God works, okay? So this is the first year that we've taken Pastor Ryan. If I understand it right, Misty, you know somebody that goes to Pastor Ryan's church. She saw it on Facebook that we were going to Africa, to Kenya, and that we were going in with Pastor Ryan. Misty, basically, she grew up in Nairobi, so she knows the turf. And her mom and dad are pastors there. We were able to meet with them the last day that we were there. And when we go back, we're hoping to connect and do ministry together. She lives in Kalkaska area, so she found us today. So be sure you say hello, because God is just still doing that Africa thing. Okay? All right. So we have been doing this conference in Malawi all week long on Zoom. And so we've been getting up early, and doing a couple hours of conference. And after the funeral yesterday, I went home, fell asleep in the chair, woke up, and it's 2:00 in the morning, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord starts dropping these words for people into me. And the word for Mandy about embracing sovereignty, and the Lord just started dumping out this full explanation of sovereignty and our need to really understand what sovereignty is and what it looks like as believers. Because if we cannot get the concept of sovereignty correct, nothing else is going to flow like it needs to. And so I'm going to just share a few of the things. Hopefully one won't be too long today, but I want to share a few of the things that the Lord showed me as we were sitting in that chair together, me and him at 2:00 in the morning, and then we'll go from there. I want to give you the definition first. Supreme power and authority. Absolute, unlimited, never lost authority. That's what sovereignty means. Supreme power, authority, absolute, unlimited, never lost authority. And we are, in our life, when we accept Christ and we ask him to come in and be our Savior and we surrender, we ask him to forgive our sins and we surrender all of those things. And we ask you to, are there things, behavioral things? You hear pastor talk all the time, apostle talk all the time about there's, even after we do that, there are behavioral things that we've learned or hurts, generational curses, or things that have been embedded long time with us that we still have to address. And that's part of that sovereignty process. That's why this is so important that we understand that. And so there are, this morning, I'm going to give you, very quickly, I'm going to give you three things that are required for sovereignty. And then I'm going to give you some things that come because of a result of you accepting sovereignty and living as God is your sovereign God, okay? So the things that are required, we're going to start, we'll start with the hard stuff first, okay? And then we'll get to the fun stuff, because what comes as a result of sovereignty is pretty flippin' amazing. So the very first thing, and we'll kind of work through these. But the very first thing is that devotion, that worship. And it's not, it truly is, we say we have worship and we have good worship. We do. But on an individual level, if we are challenged with worship, if we, and I'm not making judgment here, but I want you to understand that at some point in your worship experience, you have to go to this unabandoned place. Okay? And what unabandoned looks like does not mean that I always just sit in my chair. And I just want you to, I'm not pointing fingers. I just want you to think about where you are at and reflect on your past worship experiences. Sometimes just sitting in our chair is the perfect thing. Sometimes just raising your hand is the perfect thing. Sometimes coming to the altar, whether it's during worship or at the end of the service, is the perfect thing. What is not the perfect thing is if you only get to the place ever in your walk with Christ that you're just doing the same thing over and over and over. Does that make sense? if you can't ever get up and pick up a flag, if you can't ever get up and come to the altar, if you can't ever get up and give a testimony, if you can't ever get down on your knees, then we are at this place where there's something going on with sovereignty. Because in certain places during your walk with the Lord, we should have moments like David had where he had this unabandoned worship. They were bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Spirit reside within them like what we do. And so the Holy Spirit rested on the covenant and on this Ark of the Covenant. And he was bringing it back to where it was, where it belonged. And he was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God that it says that he was in his loincloth and he was dancing and singing down the street in front of thousands of people. It's an unabandoned worship. That doesn't happen every Sunday, but it ought to happen at some point in your walk with the Lord. At some point. We had a girl in Adam, and some of you will remember, we were doing Thursday night services, and Elise, bless her heart, I mean, she taught me some things. She really did, because she was such a free spirit. One Thursday night, she actually started doing cartwheels down the aisle. Totally took me out, because, oh boy, now what do we do with that? And the Lord had to scold me. Really had to scold me. Was I comfortable with it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, remember, I'm the girl that grew up with the women had to sit in the back of the church, couldn't talk. And now I got this girl doing a cartwheel down the aisle. Okay? Did she do it every week? No. But I remember very distinctly going home that night. And as I was spending time with the Lord over those next several days, he just kept saying, I didn't have a problem with it. Why did you? She was truly trying to show me how she loved me. She was so excited. And at some point, I want to challenge you and tell you, at some point, we should be so excited that we move to a different place. Doesn't mean every single, that from that point on, that's how you do it. Because the Lord is a God of variety. But there should be moments in your worship where you're looking at yourself going, something just happened to me. Something changed me. I could not refrain from going to this place. And whatever that looks like for you, some of us, it might be you raise your hand. That might be it. But it's you take this step, you take this shift because of what God's doing in you. So that's the first thing. It's required. Second thing that's required is obedience to his voice. Obedience to his commandments, what he's written in his word. There's a lot of things to this, and you've heard me say this over and over again, and I think the people in Africa get tired of me saying it too, but it is so crucial. Because if God is sovereign, if he is the ultimate power, if I am acknowledged him as the only king in my life, then what happens is whatever I do, whatever he tells me, whatever is written in his word or whatever he whispers in my ear or whatever I just am feeling in my spirit, I have to obey that. I have to do it. Jesus says, and this is what they get tired of me saying, but it sums it up. It says Jesus does nothing without the Father telling him to do it. Nothing. Nothing. And it doesn't matter if it's here or if it's Malawi or if it's in Tanzania or if it's in Kenya or any other place that I'm talking to people, that when I say this, I ask them this question, did you ask Jesus what to have for breakfast today? And then they all laugh. Because it sounds so ridiculous, but it's not ridiculous. Because really, in that sentence, Jesus is showing us all about sovereignty. Whatever the Father tells me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever he tells me to say, I'm going to say. Wherever he tells me to go, I'm going to go. It is regardless of the time constraints, regardless of the cost, regardless of whatever anybody else thinks. Because he is the ultimate king. And I must, it is required of me, if he is going to be my sovereign, I must listen to him. That's the way I am demonstrating to him that I understand sovereignty. He tells us, these are some of the things. I'm just going to mention a few things. He says, don't forsake assembling together. That's a requirement. There's a lot of people out there in the world today. They'll say, I can find God in nature. I don't need to go to church. It's not true. It's not what his word says. His word says, don't forsake assembling together. That means there's importance in coming together as God's people. Iron sharpens iron. We can pray for each other. We can speak words of encouragement into each other. It is required. You are not an island. I don't care what anybody tells you. You have to be. We are relational. And he wants his family, his children, to understand that they're family and we have to be together. It's where we pour out our hearts. It's where we have our break, what Kathy Ann is having. Doesn't always happen overnight. Sometimes it takes years. But that's why coming together is important, because you develop trust. And you understand that these people in this place love you and care about you. And they will be there for you. You cannot forsake assembling together. Discipleship is necessary. It's why we push mentors. It's why we push the learning and the classes. His word tells us that we have to grow each other up. We have to make disciples. Go ye therefore. It's part of our go word. Apostle is accountable. He has to give an explanation to the Lord for each one of you. It's what the word says. So you're not this isn't just you. You can't say, well, this is just my Christian walk with God. No, it's not. You're in this place. You're in this house. There are other people that are accountable for you. And I'm going to go here, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm telling you, it's why we get concerned when we hear you. A lot of you goes, oh, I heard this on Facebook, or I heard that on Facebook, or I'm listening to this preacher. We're concerned. We want to make sure that what you're hearing is good, because not everything out there is good. We're not trying to dictate. We're not trying to control you, but we're trying to protect you. We're trying to make sure that what is going into you is in line with the word. So discipleship is important. Mentorship, accountability. And that's part of that submission piece. We don't like that word either. I'm a rebel at heart. I don't like to submit. I'm the first one to tell you that. I am. I know. Be quiet, Mike. Okay. She's back there. Just like, okay. It's okay. It's their right. I mean, just to give you an example, I am the kid that when my dad would tell me to stand at the sink and wash the dishes, and I didn't want to, I would just stand there forever. Like, I think I stood there one time 5 hours, and finally, he just told me to go to my room, and I just thought, all I got to do is stand here, I'll outlast him. You ain't good. Yeah, don't listen, Titus. Okay. That's not submission. I can't outlast God. I can't. I had to learn, and I'm still learning, because there's still times when he whispers something and I'm just hesitant, or do I really have to, or no, I don't want to, or all this stuff. Submission, because I understand sovereignty. Some of us, it's much harder than for others. The other thing, so devotion or worship, obedience, there's many other things that we could talk about obedience, but those are a few. The third one is service. Service. If you're going to acknowledge that Christ, that Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty are the sovereign lords in your life, then there has to be service. And there's service for the kingdom and service for the house. Kingdom is what happens outside these walls. Yes, kingdom is here, but I'm going to separate them so you understand. Kingdom service is you're out, and Mike is classic for this, and I love it. You know, he'll see somebody in a store, and the Lord will prompt him, and he'll go walk up to them and start talking to them. It's what Mandy was talking about in her testimony. That's kingdom service, willing for the Lord to use you at any moment, at any time. Pastor Roger at the funeral yesterday asked me about the 5 P's. I sent them to you. I hope you got it. Okay? Preach, pray, praise, prophesy, even pass away at a moment's notice. So when you're out in his kingdom, you must always be listening, and you must be willing and ready to do one of the 5 P's at any moment. If you need to prophesy, go give an encouraging word to somebody. If you need to step up to somebody and you need to pray with them. If you need to talk to somebody about a testimony and give them a praise. That's service in the kingdom, but what does the word say about service in the house? If you go to Haggai chapter 1, we miss this because we think that doing stuff out in the kingdom is good enough. And it's wonderful. I'm not saying it isn't. But the Bible is also very clear that if you are that you are to be planted in a house, in a body of worshipers, in, you know, don't forsake assembling together. You are planted here. And if you're planted here, then you should be doing some type of service. You need to find what it is that you do in the house. Haggai says, this is what I have against you. The Lord is talking, and he says, this is what I have against you, that you're taking care of your own homes, and my house is falling down. You're not paying attention to my house. So I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're one of the intercessors. I don't care if you're one of the greeters. I don't care if you come and you mow the yard, you know, through the summer. I don't care what it is. But you need to find an area of service that you're pouring in that builds up the house. We go back to Acts chapter 6 with Stephen and those other men. There were 7 of them. And signs and wonders followed those men who did service. And they did the service so that others could do their thing that they're called to do. So if you're going to consider, if you're going to say that I understand sovereignty and that the Lord God is sovereign, then you must be operating in the kingdom and in the house in some fashion. So let's do some good stuff, okay? That's what some of the things that are required. Let's talk about when we do these things, what happens? What does God promise us? Because this is the good stuff. Number 1, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 28, you hear me say this a lot because I'm continually working on trying to get my head around this. Because it says that in the garden, this is God, and he's talking about what the world, he intended the world to function as. This is prior to Adam and Eve sinning and being kicked out of the garden. But this is the way God wants it to be. This is what he promises us because he's restoring us to what was taken away at that point in time. That we will have dominion over everything. Over the fish, over the air, over the fowl of the air. Every living thing that moves on the earth. Every living thing that moves on the earth. That means that weather. That means animals. That means demonic spirits. That means all of it. Walking in authority. That's why we have that's why the signs and wonders appear. Because we're walking with God as our sovereign, and he says, because of that, I'm gonna give you authority. And in our verses in Mark, that our word for the year, go. And when you go, these signs shall follow. You're going to have healings. You're going to have deliverances. The church is going to grow. You want authority? You don't have authority? You need to look at your sovereignty and where you're at with it. Second thing, provision. There's two verses here. First, Philippians 4:19. God shall supply. Look at that word. There's that word all again. I just encourage you, when you're reading, read through the New Testament. Every time it says all, you look at it. Jesus, or nothing. These types of absolute words, because they're promises from God. This says, I shall supply all of your need according to his riches. That means if I have a problem with finances, he's going to take care of it as long as I'm responding to him as he is my sovereign. That means clothes on my back, food on my table. That means answers to obstacles that are in my way. All. I'm going to provide all of your needs. The next one is very familiar also. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All, there's that word again, all these things are going to be added to you. Do you know, I love to point this out, and I probably have done this here too, but I'm going to do it again, because in Jeremiah 23, God calls, he's talking to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah the prophet is giving a prophecy about the coming Messiah, and he says that God calls this coming Messiah, Jesus, my righteousness. So I think we could rewrite that verse, and we should rewrite that verse, because it should say, but it does, it's just not clear unless you know Jeremiah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek Jesus, and all these things shall be added to you. Jeremiah 23:6, that's that verse. He says, the coming, he lists off, he says he's going to be out of the line of David. He's going to be in Judah. He gives all these things pointing directly to Jesus. And then he says, that's my righteousness. So when I read that, his righteousness, I could put Jesus in there. All these things will be added. Not some, not a quarter, not a half, not three quarters, all. All. Think of the provisions. Provisions for courage. It's not all physical stuff. Provisions for peace. Provisions for comfort. Provisions for boldness. Provisions, oh my gosh, I'll get to the next one. I'm going to get right back into my next step. Protection. Isaiah 43. This is another thing that comes when we have sovereignty in our life. The Lord, O Jacob, he that formed you, fear not. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. That's when he is our king, we are his people. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He knows my name. He knows your name when you're walking and understand sovereignty. When you pass through waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. This is part of sovereignty. This is his requirement. He cannot lie. The Bible says that God cannot lie. This is what he promises us when he is the King of Kings in our hearts. It says, you were precious in my sight. I'm telling you, when you're having a really hard day, when you are having an absolutely most difficult day, and that fear is rising up on you, you need to turn to these verses and you need to read where God says, you are precious and I know your name. I will give men for thee, people for your life. That's what God's willing to do. That's hard, but he's saying, if I need to, I'm willing to give somebody else's life for yours. That's part of sovereignty. This is a good one. Opportunities. Oh my gosh. This is my favorite sweet spot. I could talk about this all day long. I love to talk about the opportunities that God provides for us. Revelations 3:8. You know this. You've heard us talk about it. Doors are going to be open that only he can open for you. We hear Elizabeth's testimony about breakthrough with the kids and the court. We hear about Mandy. 2 weeks ago, she thought for sure she was going to be fired. What happens? She's not fired. She's in the office praying for another manager. That's opportunity. That's a beautiful thing. I have set before you an open door. He doesn't tell us that there's a limit to where that open door takes you. He doesn't. You've heard me testify, and I tell people this all the time when we get to Kenya. We've been there, it's 14 years going. I step off that plane every single time, and I could just cry. Because I understand that without the Lord opening those doors, it would never happen. We're a powerful church. But we're a small church. How do they find us? How do they do that unless God opens doors? How does he make all these connections? Do you know that we've spoken over people in eight countries in Eastern Africa. That's God. And that's you, because you're part of Pine Grove. This is Pine Grove. You know, before COVID, and I'll talk about this, because when he opens up doors of opportunity, it's not just there. It's not just overseas. It's here. We had this building. Then we accrued the house next door. We were struggling with a budget, maybe a yearly budget if we were lucky to hit $80,000. Okay? For everything we're trying to do, the numbers don't match up. And then God just opens this door. He provides us a new building for the daycare. I'm bragging on him. I want you to understand what God does that you are not able to do. If you looked at our balance sheet, we are well over $1.3 million in less than 4 years, 5 years. That's God. does it mean I have that money sitting in the checkbook? No, but we've got buildings that bring value. And that's just a monetary. In Proverbs, it says that this is like, again, one of my favorite verses. It says that your gifting will bring you before great men. That's opportunity. What God has poured into you, what he has formed you to do from the point that you're in your mama's womb. And that's why we love when these babies are coming and we're able to speak over them, because God has already laid out the gifts that he wants to pour into them. He has already given them a plan for their life. He knows what he wants them to accomplish. And if we can help them and help the families and stir these little ones, God's going to open opportunities for them, and it's going to bring them before great men. And great can mean great, like presidents, or it can mean great, as in many. Opportunity. Favorite verse in the world. Call on me, I'll answer you. I'll show you things you can't imagine. That is laden with opportunity. God says, if you acknowledge me as your sovereign, as your King of Kings, he said, that which is invisible, I'm going to bring it into the visible for you. That's opportunities. Micah 2:13. The breakers come up before him. They've broken up. They've passed through the gate. They're gone out by their king, and the king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. The Lord is leading, and obstacles that are in your way, he's going to bust down, because he's got a place that he's taking you to. That is opportunity. It doesn't happen if you're on the throne with half of your butt cheek and you're trying to give Lord the other half of your chair. It don't work. He gets the whole throne. That's, in essence, very simple terms, sovereignty. He's going to remove those. I'm telling you, COVID hit. You know the housing market in Traverse City, it's awful. Especially for young people trying to get a home. Do you know when COVID hit, all of our young people had their own homes? You tell me that is an opportunity. Because I'll fight you on that one, because it was God making a way. There was one point before, and it was a couple years before COVID, but there was a lot of stuff going on in the area, and jobs were hard to find. And we just spoke over the church. The Lord gave us a word that we were not going to be without a job. Nobody in this house was going to be without a job. People lost their jobs, but within days, they were elevated to a new position with more money. That's opportunity. See, God says, I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. And those rewards are not just eternal rewards. Because as Pastor Ryan would say, your eternity's already started. You're already walking in eternity. When we go on to heaven, we're just transitioning. We're just going to the next phase. He has rewards. He is a good father. It says, don't I know how to give good gifts to my children? And this comes back to increasing your capacity at all levels. Increasing your capacity to accomplish things. Increasing your capacity for time management. Increasing your capacity on your funds. increasing your capacity of how you handle stress. Your capacity, apostles always talking about your capacity. Your capacity is going to increase. It's part of what the Lord promises you as we embrace sovereignty. Had probably one of the busiest weeks I've had since I can even remember. This last week was bar none the worst week as far as busyness that Apostle and I can possibly think of in years. It has just been, on the human level, it's been atrocious. But we look at it and we're like, oh my gosh, you see how the Lord walked us through that? Must be expanding our capacity. Must have something more for us. He's doing the same thing with you. Sovereignty. It requires a change in your worship, willingness to be unabandoned at times. It requires obedience. It requires service. And out of it comes authority, provision, protection, opportunity, and capacity. We're just going to have prayer. I'm just going to open the altars. Titus, can you move this? I really want you to be thinking first, am I meeting, do I need to be stretched in one of those areas that are required? I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, is there one of those areas where I just need to be stretched? Listen, this is the beautiful thing about Jesus. You'll never hear him, you'll never hear us tell you that you got to get it 100% right now. The reason why David was a man after God's own heart was because every time he recognized that something wasn't quite right in his life, he just said, okay, Lord, let's fix it. Let's work on it, and let's keep going. And the Lord loved it. He said, you're a man after my heart. You're not a perfect man. He's not telling you have to be perfect. He's telling you that we have to keep working and claiming that sovereignty and understanding holiness. And we just keep walking this out with him. So maybe there's two or three things that he's speaking to you about. Pick one. Start with one. Just start with one. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be successful. We'll work on the others because that's so good. We get one thing that we've been working on and we kind of get a handle on it. And then he comes along and he says, okay, now it's time. Let's work on the next thing. And we just keep doing this a step at a time. We just keep making progress forward. So I want you to ask yourself, is there something in here that is keeping me from really embracing God's sovereignty? The altar is open. You can talk to him in your pew. You can come to the altar. If you want someone to pray with you, I will have a couple people. I think I'm going to have Jace and Charlie. Would you? Okay. If you want one of them to pray with you, they will pray with you. Or you can come and just spend time by yourself. Or you can do it in your pew. But we're going to take time because I want you to experience the benefits of sovereignty. So I'm going to have Pastor Tracy put a song on for us. If you need to slip out, we understand. It's a holiday weekend. It's kind of long. We understand. But if you go, just go quietly. Have a wonderful holiday. come back next week when TB is going to be here. But we're going to close. Our song's going to be our benediction, but we're going to be up here. If you want, if God's nudging you and pulling at you and you want them to just have a word with you, pray with you, he's got so many good things for you as we embrace sovereignty. Pastor Tracy, would you just put on a song for us?